You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Dr. Hartley Milchen joins us now. Hi, Hartley.
Nice to see you once again.
Nice to see you once again. I guess today your topic is a little like that old song, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. What we're really talking about is how what happens with the foot can also be impacted in what's happening with, for example, your hips. In other words, a hip problem can be related to a foot problem.
That's true.
Right?
What people don't realize is that the feet are the foundation of the rest of the body. So if the foundation is out of alignment, not working optimally, etc., it has the Leaning Tower of Pisa effect, where the base is off balance, the rest of the structure is off balance. So very noticeably, but not for many people. They're not aware of this, but if your feet are off balance, you can develop knee pain, hip pain, mm-hmm. and low back pain.
Low back pain too. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So people will run the gamut of all sorts of doctors, tests, physios, chiropractors, you name it, and they never get to the bottom of what's really causing the problem.
If you pardon the expression, don't get to the bottom of it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's apropos. So what I find is that I have a lot of doctors, especially orthopedic doctors, who have patients that have tried everything to get some relief on their low back, for example, or their knees, and they reach a point where nothing's helping. And an orthopedic physician will say, well, you have to go to your podiatrist and have them check your feet, see if they're off balance. Perhaps wearing an orthotic or a change in shoes, etc., may help what's happening higher up, whether it be the knees, hips, or back.
Is it routine that an orthopedic surgeon would do that, would automatically think of the feet as being the root of the problem?
Well, it's becoming more routine since orthopedic surgeons have a very heavy workload.
Yeah.
And if they've tried a number of things to alleviate this pain and it hasn't worked, then nowadays they're realizing that it is a good possibility it's coming from the feet, and mm-hmm. they're not going to handle it, so they want their podiatrist to handle it for them.
I think I noticed that during that 31-kilometer walk that you talked me through for the cancer research at Princess Margaret. My feet never hurt, really, the whole time, but I noticed that my hips started to hurt, and so I would kind of exercise my hips as I walked in kind of a ridiculous fashion to move them back and forth, and that seemed to help. But it all came from the feet. It's the fact I was walking, and here my hips were really much more affected, and I felt them a lot more than my feet.
Well, you were walking more than you normally would walk.
Yeah.
So your hips took some added stress that they wouldn't normally take.
But when that problem happens and it is traced back to the foot, what kind of things do you do in order to ultimately relieve that hip or back pain?
Well, I don't profess to treat backs. That's not my thing. But if I'm referred a patient from, let's say, an orthopedic surgeon, a chiropractor, a physiotherapist, whatever, and they ask me to take a look at the feet, well, we'll do an examination. We will watch the patient stand, walk, etc. If we find an imbalance in the feet, and as you know, the most common imbalance that people have is what's called overpronation, which is a rolling in of the feet towards the arch and big toe. And most of us suffer from it, and it's the major
cause. What does that look like? Show me. Just show me what pronation is, and I'll try to describe it to everybody. Oh, so when you're walking, you're sort of moving in towards your inner arch, right?
That's correct. It's an over-rolling towards the inner arch and big toe area. And
could you check that on your own shoe wear? Would it show?
Shoe wear is not a good indicator. And people don't normally
Just as a mild indicator before they call somebody like you. I mean, if you see that your shoe is wearing unevenly, you got to know something could be wrong.
A better indicator is to stand on a flat surface, hopefully not carpet, in front of a mirror, and look if your ankles and arches collapse inward. That's a better indicator. But most people don't realize that they do this, or they can watch their children walk and don't realize their children are overpronating. But most of the symptoms and problems that podiatrists see manifest themselves from this imbalance called overpronation. So overpronation, what it really means is that the foot mechanics is not working in the optimal fashion.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, because it's the foundation, it's affecting the parts higher up. So quite often I'll do an examination on a patient that one of these specialists has sent to me. And if I do find an imbalance in the feet, then I may suggest either orthotics or orthotics and or proper shoes for standing, walking, or leisure activities. And quite often, I'd say more times than not, the person's knee pain, hip pain, or back pain will go away. And they're amazed because they would never ever imagine that their feet have anything to do with their other problems, because of course feet are the most ignored part of the body and people don't know a lot about them. But quite often it works, and it's amazing. I was just before I came to the studio, and as Mary can attest to you, I was at my florist shop, and the lady that's the floral designer was so grateful because she stands all day preparing these designs, and her back was killing her, and she showed me, look, I'm wearing my shoes with my orthotics and I feel great. And she was so overjoyed.
That was helping the back pain.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways it's a much simpler solution anyway, because the tools you use here, you use orthotics, or you counsel people on getting a better quality shoe. A lot better than trying to poke around and find some alleviation for back pain or knee pain, right?
Oh, for sure. Sometimes people will endure, you know, many, many visits of physiotherapy, or they may be injected with cortisone. And those are temporary measures. You're not really getting to the root issue, which is the imbalance. And once the imbalance is balanced, things get a lot better for the long term.
And those orthotics that you get to do that, to rebalance, you're going to have those for the rest of your life, right?
Absolutely. It's like people who need glasses and they wear them the rest of their life.
You're not going to outgrow the... In fact, you might need another orthotic as you go along. A, they would wear out. B, your pronation might even change. Is that possible?
That's true. We generally say orthotics last 1 to 3 years. Depending on how active a person is, either they'll just plumb wear out, or the prescription will change over time. But with my orthotic patients, I follow them up very closely. And if an orthotic warps or goes out of adjustment for whatever reason, because they take a lot of stress, heat, and pressure in the shoes, I may adjust them in the office so that they're back up to prescription and working optimally. So I like to follow up with my orthotic patients.
It must be a pleasure for people who finally get the orthotic that you have made for them, especially for their foot. I think that's an important point. And they put it in their shoe, and they must notice a difference, and rather abruptly, I would think.
For some people, the results are just amazing. They're so thankful because, like I say, they've been through the gamut of tests, injections. Some even have surgery. People have surgery on their spine. You know, you've heard of herniated discs and that. And sometimes it's just the simple change of the shoe balance.
The cause could have come from the foot is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So you can catch it earlier, you can catch it later when it's going to be a fairly, a really serious medical condition.
Right, and that's why we advocate seeing children, because we can notice these imbalances in childhood. And if we can correct them in childhood, and the optimal age is before 6 years, then they won't go into adult life with adult foot problems.
Yeah. Okay. And it's important to, could you repeat this again? Because I think it's important. in terms of that orthotic, this is not something you should be buying off the rack somewhere.
No, the orthotics that are proper made orthotics are made distinctly for feet, and they're not made from walking on a two-dimensional pressure mat or some of the other ways of having them made. They're not store-bought. They're made prescription, much like yours and my eyeglasses are.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't go into a drugstore and pick out my eyeglasses because I have a certain prescription, and one eye is different than the other.
Dr. Hartley Milchen is here answering your questions about the care and feeding of the foot. Well, you don't feed the foot, but you get what I'm saying. Here are the numbers, 416. Well, you do. I mean, the blood supply and everything, you know. I mean, you could make the case, I'm sure. Could you not?
I'd have to think about that one. That one's tough.
All right, so I'm on iffy ground.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Dr. Hartley Milchen is here. Podiatry is his game, and those are the kinds of questions he's answering. You're doing the asking. Here's Mike in Oakville. Mike, do you have a question for Dr. Milchen?
Yes, I have. I have what they call ingrowing toenails, and I've gone to a lot of these people around where I live regarding cutting the toe. Most of them are Oriental and stuff, and they can't seem to do the job right. So I finally found a doctor in the Yellow Pages. He get rid of bunions and onions, you name it. I went to him, and he cut my toenails too, and I still have the same problem.
Yeah.
They grow right in down, you know?
On each side.
Especially the two big toes.
Okay. What about that, Dr. Milchen?
It's a very common problem. All ages suffer from it. And basically, the belief is that the nail plate, which is pretty strong, grows wider than the skin space allotted for it, and because of shoes or whatever pressing against the next toe, the skin is pushed into the nail or the nail's pushed into the skin, and you can develop what's called an ingrown toenail. Ingrown toenails, not only are they painful, if they break open the skin and the shoes and socks are such a dirty environment, you can get some serious infections with ingrown toenails. Sometimes they can be treated conservatively by just snipping part of that edge, that's the offending edge, and putting some antibiotic on and soaking it and everything. But ultimately, there is a very well-known procedure that is very simple to do. Historically, people used to remove entire toenails, but that's kind of barbaric.
Whoa.
Podiatrists generally don't do that.
What we do is we
cut a part of the offending portion or that edge down below the cuticle where the root is, and sometimes we'll either use a laser or a chemical in that area to destroy one part of the root so that the nail doesn't grow along that edge anymore. Cosmetically, you can't even tell anything was done.
Mm-hmm.
There's virtually no pain with this procedure. It takes 5-10 minutes in the podiatrist's office, and it works.
But doesn't that fly in the face of the old belief that you were supposed to cut toenails straight across?
Well, I've heard that belief as well. But my belief is, if you look at toenails and you look at hair, they're different. Not everybody's hair or toenails are the same. So they can't be cut the same.
Yeah.
They have different thicknesses, different textures, different colors, etc. My belief is one must see the toenail to determine if it can be cut straight across or rounded into the corners a bit so that it doesn't irritate the toe. Because I see many patients come in who do have pain in their big toes, for example, and it's just that distal edge that's poking into the corner of the toe because it's been cut straight across.
It's been cut straight,
Either with one of those little nippers that you use, you press your thumb on, which aren't great. But all I do is I educate them on how to cut the toenails properly and cut into the edges slightly, and they don't suffer from it anymore. So it's a matter of cutting the nails properly, and I'm a firm believer that not all nails can be cut straight across.
Okay. All right, I hope that helps a bit, Mike. Here's Gary from Belgrave. Gary, do you have a question?
Yes, I turned 61 and decided I'd look after my feet, and I've been going in and having my toenails trimmed and that and so forth. And reflexology, I've been having that done, but I haven't seen any change. Should I have seen change if I was getting reflexology done?
Well, the belief with reflexology is in ancient Chinese medicine that all the organs of the body have roots in the feet, in the bottom of the feet generally. And if the if you have a problem area and that area is massaged, the according area is massaged on the bottom of the feet, it can relieve some of the issues in that organ. I believe for some people it works. I'm a certified technologist, a reflexologist, and although I don't practice it, I think for some people it's helpful. But like any medication, any treatment, it doesn't work for everybody. There is a failure rate. But it certainly feels good. You have to admit that, don't you, Mike?
Yeah. It'll put you to sleep.
I know. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen, I thank you very much for that. Appreciate it.
All right. Now, for those who are not that acquainted with reflexology, just run through that again, exactly what it is.
Ancient Chinese medicine believes there's meridians or pathways throughout the body. For example, there are a lot of end pathways in the ear area and the bottom of the feet. And acupuncture is also based on
it.
And,
right.
and reflexology or acupressure believes that, for example, the end pathway of your liver is in a certain point on your foot. And if that point is stimulated by a reflexologist's hand, they can help stimulate some reaction in that particular organ, which would be the liver.
Well, what kind of action would be stimulated, for example, in your liver?
I believe it's an increase in energy into the area. And certainly people believe in it. And for some people, it makes a difference. I'm the type of person that I can see outside the box and I have a very open mind. And I think if there's some treatment or some modality that has some benefit that has no risk, then it's worth trying.
Well, then,
and a lot of it is, if you believe enough, it may work. Sort of like the magnetic therapy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What about the magnetic therapy? Do you believe in that one?
Well, I'll tell you an interesting...
You brought it up, so...
I'll tell you an interesting study that podiatrists in the States did. There were these magnetic insoles that people would wear in their shoes, and it would change all kinds of energy in the body, and people will feel better, and all their ailments would go away, and blah, blah, blah. Yep. Anyways, they did an experiment. So in one shoe, they put one of these magnetic insoles in the shoe. In the other shoe, they put a fridge magnet. And the results were basically the same.
Well, does that mean that fridge magnets are good for your feet?
I suggest put them in right away.
But your overall point there is, listen, try it. If it's not invasive and it's not going to harm you.
If there's no side effects, it's not harmful, hey, anything's worth a try. I'm a firm believer of that. It's like chicken soup, you know?
But the whole reflexology thing, I mean, it seems to, it's hinting that that feet really do play some kind of key role in your overall well-being.
That's very, very true. And what's really interesting that I just found out last week is that many, many third-party health insurance that people have through work or through their spouse or whatever are beginning to cover reflexology.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then it must be, I guess that's simply success speaking, is it not? I mean,
yeah, there
works,
must be some credibility there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe there are whole things yet to be discovered about the feet.
Let's go have our feet massaged.
Well, no, but you know what I mean?
We'll do the test.
No, but you know what I'm saying, that there are maybe some of the, maybe there is still research to be done to discover new aspects of what feet mean to the entire body.
Right. Now, this is based on ancient Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
Maybe modern medicine should take a closer look at it.
Well, modern medicine, in fact, does seem to take a closer look at some of these things, such as acupuncture, and find some merit in it. So that's a hopeful note, I think, for modern medicine.
For sure.
If you have a question for Dr. Hartley Milchen, podiatrist, give us a call, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Is it always symptom? When you go to a podiatrist, I'm assuming it is always symptom driven. Would anybody ever go to a podiatrist to get a foot checkup?
Absolutely.
They do.
And those are really the smart people who are being proactive.
Yeah.
I get many, many women in that say, my grandmother, my mother had the worst bunions.
Yeah.
I don't want my feet to get to like that. Let's do something now. How can we prevent bunions?
And of course you can with...
You can with getting rid of that overpronation by correcting that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get bunions. You're not going to develop bunions unless you're going to wear, you know, those 8-inch heels day to day and flip-flops all summer. Then, well, I can't help you.
You are opposed to that. Well, no, everybody likes to see somebody wearing a high heel, don't they? But just don't go crazy about it. Is that the best way to look at that?
Well, for me, it's a two-edged sword. I love to see it on the street. I hate to see it in my office, but it is job security for me.
Yeah, that's right.
But I do see the chaos it creates.
All right. Here's Shirley on the line from Toronto. Shirley, do you have a question for Hartley Milchen?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead, please.
For the past 7 years at least, I've had burning feet on the top, nothing on the bottom. I've been to umpteen specialists about it, including podiatrists, and I've given it a name, burning feet syndrome, because I don't know why it's happening, but it's pain 24/7.
Uh-huh.
And if you touch it, if you touch the top of my feet, the pain goes away.
Oh.
But there's nothing on the bottom, and I can't wear socks. In the winter, I'm in a barefoot in boots because anything closing it in creates more burning. And my doctor has me on two different pills for pain for the past 6 or 7 years.
Are you on Lyrica?
No, I'm on Neurontin
okay.
and morphine.
Morphine for pain?
Yep.
Morphine?
Morphine.
Now, does it burn mostly at night?
No, it burns all day. And all night. The most relief I can get is when I finally go to bed, it will keep pulsating, and I have to, you know, just try to ignore it to go to sleep.
And have you seen a neurologist for this?
Yes, I have. And he's the man that gave me the Neurontin. He hooked me up to all kinds of machines that, you know, make the body zap different ways.
Right.
And he said, and that was years ago, okay, we're going to put you on Neurontin to help you with the pain. And he sent me down to Toronto Western and Toronto General, and I met with several specialists who said they haven't got a clue.
Yeah, it sounds a bit unusual, but it does sound like a neurological problem.
Yeah.
One of the newer medications that people are using for that particular problem is called Lyrica.
Could you spell it for me?
Lyrica.
Okay.
It's one of the newer ones,
right.
And it works pretty effectively for a lot of people. Or there's another medication that's been around for a very long time called Gabapentin.
Gabapentin. Yeah, isn't that just another word for Neurontin?
No.
No. Okay.
Gabapentin. Just the way it sounds.
Okay. Yep.
Sound it out.
I got it.
Shirley, thank you very much. I hope that's quite mysterious, is it not?
It sounds very unusual.
Yeah.
I do at times see patients who have a burning. It's mostly at night, and if they touch the foot, it's not hot at all.
Yeah.
And we can do something with some vitamin B, et cetera, niacin.
Is that nerve-related then? Is that what that is?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Questions for Dr. Hartley Milchen. Let's go and talk to Wilf on the line from Barrie. Wilf, what's your question?
I have very tender feet, and I wonder if there's anything I can do for that. I do have a circulation problem.
What is your circulation problem?
It's hardening the arteries.
Oh, and are you taking medication?
No.
Baby aspirin or any of that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I take aspirin. I'm sorry.
And what about the anti-clot medications?
No.
You're not?
I'm just supposed to walk as much as I can, so I use a exercise bicycle as much as I can.
Yeah, that helps. But also it's important to try and get down as much blood as possible. Some like Plavix is one
Plavix.
Of the
Plavix. Plavix
is
Plavix?
One, yes, is yeah. one of the newer medications that really what it does is it changes the shape of the red blood cells so that it can pass down those hardened arteries a little bit easier. Because realize that if you're not getting enough circulation to the feet, you're going to feel various changes and see various changes. So it's important to certainly discuss it with your doctor or if you have a vascular surgeon, you might need a certain prescription that'll increase the blood flow to your feet. There's also some new technology that I saw a couple weeks ago. And it's used at home, and what it does is it stimulates the calf, and you use it for a two-hour period each day. And what it does is it forces the blood down into the feet more effectively, and that's without taking medication. Very interesting technology out of Israel.
Some kind of vibration or something like that?
It's not a vibration. It's you attach these electrodes to the back of your thigh, and there's a very small unit. Uh-huh. And what it does is it sort of contracts the muscle at a certain interval, which this pressure creates more blood flow down to the feet. So it's a pumping action.
Yeah, something, Wilf, you may want to check out with
I your... I have. I've got the folder on that.
Oh, have you?
And I've given it to my doctor, and I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. I want him to read it.
Yeah, the one I saw was called Flow Aid, and it's a technology out of Israel. And I just was
if
at a conference.
Check it on Google. It's, yeah. They're coming from Texas, but anyway.
Well,
yeah, there's probably, well, I
probably
know there's a distributor
one, right?
out yeah. of Texas called Antilly.
Yes.
But not to be dismissed is what you're saying, essentially.
No,
yeah.
Apparently the technology works quite well and is very easy to use.
Okay, Wilf, good luck with that. Here's Sally in Georgetown. What's your question, Sally?
Well, there's different kinds of people that are out there for feet.
Yeah.
There's a chiropodist, there's a podiatrist, and there's a podiatrist. I just wanted to know what the difference was.
What was the second one?
A chiropodist and a podiatrist.
All right. What is a podiatrist?
Well, podiatrists are basically trained for orthotics and leg braces. Like I refer to patients to an orthotist today for a certain type of leg brace that has to be made that I don't make for a woman who has developed a very serious foot dysfunction. The difference between a podiatrist and a chiropodist, it depends who you ask. If you ask a chiropodist, the chiropodist will say the podiatrists are American-trained and the chiropodist is Canadian-trained. My analogy is more like the podiatrist is the dentist and the chiropodist is the dental hygienist. We have different scopes of practices, completely different education, etc.
I hope that helps, Sally.
Yes, that clears it up for me. Thanks
All right.
very much.
Okay. Here's Pat calling from Scarborough. Pat, what's your question?
It's really a comment more than anything. I just wanted to let you know my son was suffering from very bad pain in the top of his feet.
Uh-huh.
He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, it's probably one of two things. I will check your thyroid, and I will check you for diabetes. It ended up that he had diabetes.
Really?
And
yeah.
Once he was on the proper medication, he is fine.
All right. So, Pat, thank you very much. That fairly common, I would think,
well,
that those would be the
usually
root.
Usually, one of the first places that we can see some signs of diabetes is in the feet, but uh-huh. usually the real foot problems due to diabetes is from long-standing diabetes.
But you've had for your whole life, probably.
Or for many years. You've been on pills for many years, yeah. And you're aging, et cetera, and maybe you're inactive, et cetera, and the circulation is not as great as it should be.
Well, we got to keep that in mind always, don't we? I mean, when you talk about those kind of circulation problems, being a little more active is going to be at the top of any list of things to do?
Should be.
Huh? Here's Jalita calling from Thornhill. Jalita, your question, please.
Yes, my question is regarding walking barefoot and what the chances are of contracting parasites through the feet. And I'll tell you why I'm asking, because it ties in with your question or with the topic of reflexology, that a couple of times I had a excruciating headache for which nothing would help, and walking on the sand on a beach, which massaged my feet, was really effective in banishing the headache. But I was speaking to somebody regarding the topic of parasite eggs actually passing through skin, and they were saying that there's a chance of that it's not perfectly safe to walk bare feet.
All right. Well,
barefoot.
All right. Well, thoughts on that?
Well, the reason shoes were developed were to protect our feet from the elements and the various things that are out there in our environment. Even pet hairs or carpet hairs, fibers can penetrate the bottom of the feet and become a problem. Fungus infections. I've never heard of parasites, but fungal infections, bacterial infections,
right,
caused by walking barefoot. And I see a lot of people that go to these nail salons for pedicures, and they develop these problems.
But parasites you have not heard of as being a particular hazard, because that's what I'm most afraid of, because that's very hard to get rid of sometimes.
Yeah, I've never heard of that entering the feet personally.
Jalita, I was cautioned once while in Africa not to walk barefoot on the savannah because of parasites, but that's a very extreme example. I don't think it's quite the same here in Ontario.
Yeah, you won't get it on Yorkville, walking
because
on Yorkville.
Because truly, walking on that beach, it helped like a charm.
Yeah.
The headache problem, just absolutely amazing.
Well, that was just coincidental? You walked on the beach and
no,
suddenly somebody told you?
I tried it a couple of times. It's a great massager if you walk for quite some time on sand.
All right.
It's an amazing massage. It's like getting a reflexology massage.
All right.
That's true, and it also strengthens your muscles.
Yeah, but it feels good in any event, does it not, to walk on the beach? Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, absolutely, and it'll take off some of that dead, dry skin that people have on their feet as
either
well.
Either that or you go to some Asian country where you put your feet in the fish eat it off. Oh, yeah, right. Here's Allison calling from Binbrook. Allison, what's your question?
Yes, Doc. Hello.
Hello. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I've been having low back pain and pain down my, particularly in my left leg at night when I lay down. It doesn't bother me when I am up and around during the day, but as I go to bed at night, the pain seems to be very intense, to the point where I take Tylenol every night practically. And just to ease the pain, and I sleep with a pillow between my legs, again, for the pain.
Yeah.
Can the doctor help me at all?
Is that related to feet, do you suppose?
Probably not, but one of the most common low back problems that people exhibit is called sciatica. Sciatica, the reason we get that is there's five nerves that come out from the bottom of the spine on both sides. So it's five nerves. It's the largest trunk of nerves we have in our body. So it's easy to get pinched or aggravated, irritated.
Uh-huh.
So quite often it happens, and they'll feel pain in the low back. It may go through the back of the thigh all the way down to the big toe. You may even feel some tingling into the big toe, and it can happen standing, sitting, sleeping, etc. And one of the best treatments for it currently is stretching exercises, stretching out your back, your lower back, whether it's touching your toes and moving side to side. It really helps.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks very much. I hope that does help. Dr. Milton, thanks very much for coming in. Really appreciate your time. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That's it for now. Tomorrow we're going to talk about saving the Toronto Botanical Gardens.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.